Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, and we are four lines from the top of daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, the two dots, Omar Mar. Today's daf is being learned as the Schus Rufu Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Rev David ben Shimma, Avram ben Gittel, Shoshana bas Esther Bela, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shai Yoshev ben Baba Chai Rivka, Tzvi ben Hinda, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Elena bas Chana, Chaim Biyama Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Yishloim Ezizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv ben Krindel, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Adasa, and Chavesero bas Chana Freda. Today's daf is also being learned, Le'ilui Nishmas Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Ezev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan. So we're moving along in Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, discussing the halacha that Mila Bizmanoi is Doiche Shabbos, and the halacha that Mila Afilu Shaloi Bizmanoi is Doiche Tzaras. The halacha is that if somebody has a nega, whether the nega is Tomei or whether the nega is Tahar, he's not allowed to remove it. If somebody would remove a nega, he would be over a mitzvah loy saseh and a mitzvah saseh. The pasuk says, "He shomer b'nega hatzaras lishmar va'oid v'lasos k'choy la'shayoru eschem hakoyhanim halavim kashetzivis and tishmaru lasos." Meaning, if somebody received a nega, so he had an obligation not to go to a doctor, but to go to the kohen. And the Torah says, "He shomer b'nega hatzaras." Be very careful to do exactly what the kohanim tell you to do. Meaning, if somebody would remove the nega by himself, surgically, without following the steps that the Torah said you're supposed to follow, he would violate, number one, he shomer b'nega hatzaras lishmer ma'od, which is a lois asay. Additionally, he would violate an asay of the lasos k'choy la'sheyoyru eschem ha'koyhanim halavim. So the Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amid Beis brought a braisa, a very extensive braisa with lomdis and interesting tzadim that discuss what happens if a child is born and he has a nega on his arla. It's the eighth day. We have to do a bris milah. Is the mitzvah of Mila Doicha the Isser of Tzaras? Do we say that although ordinarily you're not allowed to remove a nega, but here there's a mitzvah of Mila? So of course you do the bris Mila, everything that's supposed to be done, and even though you're going to violate Hishama b'nega hatzaras, but there's a mitzvah of Mila, or maybe no. Maybe the mitzvah of Mila is not Doicha the nega hatzaras, and what would have to be done is we'd have to wait until this nega heals itself, and only afterwards would we be able to do the bris mila. The braisa said the halacha is that mila is doicha tzaras. The chiddush is not only mila bezmanoi, but even mila shaloi bezmanoi. So as it relates to mila being doicha Shabbos, it's only mila bezmanoi that's doicha Shabbos. But as it relates to mila being doicha tzaras, there the halacha is, it doesn't matter if it's mila bezmanoi, it doesn't matter if it's a mila shaloi bezmanoi, the halacha is, mila is doicha tzaras. Stating that, we had a machloikis tanoim. It was also a machloikis amirah, Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonis and Rav and Rav Safra, what the makar is that mila bezmanoi is doicha tzaras. Rava said that it's learned out from a Kal V'chomer. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that Mila Bezmani is Doicha Tzaras. If Mila Bezmani is Doicha Shabbos, Kal V'chomer, Mila Bezmani is going to be Doicha Tzaras. And Rabbi Yonasan in the Braisa said the same thing. Rav Safra argued with Rav. It was also the sheet of Rav Yoshia in the Braisa that the Gemara brought. And Rav Safra and Rav Yoshia said that the Kal V'chomer is not necessarily a valid Kal V'chomer, because even though at first glance you would think for sure Shabbos is more Chomer than Tzaras. So if Mila is Doicha Shabbos, certainly it should be Doicha Tzaras. But there is a tzad to say that maybe Tzaras is actually more chomer than Shabbos. How then, or what then is the makar that Mila Bizman is Doicha Tzaras? It's learned out from the word Besar. The Torah wrote the word Besar extra, not just once, twice. Ubayei Mashmini, Yimo, Besar, Arlosoi, V'Orel Zocha, Shalom, Yimo, Les, Besar, Arlosoi. Either way, according to Rava and Rav Yoinesen, the makar that Mila Bizman is Doicha Tzaras is a Kal V'chomer from Shabbos. According to Rav Safra and Rav Yoshia in the Braisa, the makar is from the word Besar. So on that note, Zok the Gemara, Omamar, Besar, Afagishiation by Heres, Yimo, Divi Rav Yoshia, Rav Yoshia, Shita was, that Mila Bizmanoi is Doicha Baheres, Mila Bizmanu is Doicha Tzaras. What's the Makar? Because it said in the Torah the word Bisar. Freak the Gemara, Halomali Kra. What do you need a pasuk for? Forget about the Kal V'chomer. That was Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. But there's another reason that you shouldn't need a pasuk, because Dover She'ena Mischavenu, V'Dover She'ena Mischaven Moter, when the Mayel removes the bris, the arla, is his kavana to violate the pasuk in the Torah, Hishomer B'nega Tzaras? He's not thinking about the laws of Tazria Mitzayra. He has a job to do, Bris Milah. So he doesn't have any kavana to violate this Isser. If that's the case, it's a Dover She'ena Mischavin. A Dover She'ena Mischavin is Mutter. Amar Abaya. Abaya said, you're right. But Loi Nitzchel or Rabbi Yehuda. Dover Dover She'ena Mischavin is also. That Brisa, perhaps. The Machloik is Rabbi Yoshe, Rabbi Yonis. It was this all going Aliba, the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that holds that a Dover She'ena Mischavin is also. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a Taina that it's a Dover She'ena Mischavin. Because Rabbi Yehuda's Shit is that a Dover She'ena Mischavin is also. But Enochinami said Abaya. According to Rabbi Shimon, that holds a Dover She'ena Mischavin is Mutter, this is a moot point. Mila B'Tzaras, what's the issue? Why can't you do it? You don't have Kavana to violate the Isser Hisham or Benega Hatzaras. So if that's the case, it's a Dover She'ena Mischavin, it's going to be okay. Rav Amar, Rav said, no. Feel with him, Rabbi Shimon. Maida Rabbi Shimon, Bepsik Reshe, Velo Yamos. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, you would need a pasuk, and the reason is because you, although true, this is a davar she'ena mischaven, but the outcome of this thing that the moel is doing is inevitable. It's not possible to do a bris milah, remove the arla where there's a nega on the arla, and not violate hishamer benega atzaras. So it's true, Rabbi Shimon has a shita in Hilchos Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon has a shita in Kol HaTorah Kula that davar she'ena mischaven is mutter. But that's only if the action that you're doing, not intending to do, does not have an inevitable consequence. But if it's inevitable that the outcome of what you're doing is going to be an iser psik reshe, could you cut the head off of something v'lo yomus and it not die? So in that case, the halach is Rabbi Shimon is going to be moida. A classic example of a psik reisha. So said Rav, this has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. A few time you can say the price is going according to Rabbi Shimon. Ah, it's a davar she'ena mischaven. Why didn't he psuk in the kalva chaymers? It's very simple because it's a psik reisha. Great thing, Marv. Abayi, Leslie, high svara. Does Abayi not hold of the svara psik reisha? Abayi, Rav, Dami, Travai, Moed, Rabbi Shimon, psik reisha. Velay Yamos. Throughout Shas, wherever the Gemara brings the idea of psik reisha, the Gemara always says, who's the Mechadish of Psik Reisha, Abaya Virava da Amri Travayo. Although Abaya Virava argued throughout Shas, but sometimes they agreed. Sometimes they were on the same page. And perhaps the most notable example where Abaya Virava both agreed to the same Chiddush was the Halacha of Psik Reisha. The Gemara always says Abaya Virava da Amri Travayo. In other words, why then did Abaya have to say that the price is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Dabba Shein Meschavin Azasi? He should have said what Rava said. That Afilu Tame Rav Shimon, Moedi Rav Shimon, Psik Reisha Vela Yama. So the Gemara says, you're right. Basa the Shama Me Rava Savra. Interesting. Abaya used to hold that Rav Shimon holds Dabba Shein Meschavin even Bipsik Reisha. Then this happened. This aforementioned exchange, Rava was mechadesh psik reisha, and Abaya said, you know what? That's a good svara. And Abaya said, maskim. And he was chayzer from his pshat in the brisa that the brisa is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And it was from that point forward that it wasn't just Rava that said, moid Rav Shimon psik reisha, but it became Abaya v'Rava da Amri Travayu, moid Rav Shimon psik reisha. Some had a slightly different version of how this all went down. Yishama b'nei gatzaras lishmer moid. For last, this is the pasuk that says that there's an iser for a person to remove a nega. The price says, lastly, siyatoisa, you now let it go be kavana to remove the nega. But you could do it with a haroma, with a wink wink. Let's say somebody has a nega on his foot. So he could put something on his foot that's going to cause the nega to be removed on its own, quote unquote. If somebody has a nega on his shoulder, say he can carry something on his shoulder that's going to cause the nega to be removed. And if it happens, it happens. So this was a brisa. And the Amiram were discussing this brisa. What do you need a pasuk for this? At the end of the day, this person doesn't seem to be having kavana to remove the nega. So if he doesn't have kavana to remove the nega, isn't it a davar she'ena mischaven? You're right. According to Rabbi Shimon, you wouldn't need a pasuk for this. The brisa was going according to Rabbi Yehuda. The other Dama Shein Meschaven is also Rav Amar. Same exchange like in the previous Gemara. I feel the same reption. Maybe this price is going according to Rabbi Shimon, but being that it's inevitable that the nega is going to be removed, even if that wasn't really the person's intention, but Maida Rabbi Shimon, Pesik Reish, Velayamos. So therefore, this price could be going even according to Rabbi Shimon. Faith, more about Bai, Leslie, High Sfara. Does a Bai not hold up Pesik Reish, Vabai, Rav, Dami, Travai? Throughout Shatz, it's always a Bai, Rav, that both said Maida Rabbi Shimon, Pesik Reish, Velayamos. The boss of the Shamay, Me Rav, Savra. A Bai used to not hold Maida Rabbi Shimon, Pesik Reish. Then he came around because of this exchange. The bottom line is, we have some insight into the rest of the story. Abaya v'Rava, throughout Shas, the Amri Travayu, Moide Rab Shimon, Bipsik Reisha v'lo Yomos. But the truth is, it wasn't always Abaya v'Rava. It was once only Rava. Rava and Abaya debated how to understand a certain brisa. two versions in the Gemara of what that braisa was. Could be it was the braisa that discusses that milos doicha tzaras. It could be it was the braisa that discusses, is it okay for a person to put something on his foot where he has a nega? Is it okay for a person to carry something on his shoulder where he has a nega? Regardless of which braisa it was, when Abaye v'Rava debated the hezber in that braisa, Rava introduced the svara psikresha. Abaye said, I hear, I'm maskim, and from that point forward, it wasn't just Rava who held Moedir Rav Shimon Psikresha, but it became Abaye v'Rava, the Amri Travayu, Moedir Rav Shimon Psikresha. But the Gemara returns to the original braisa. The Abaye, so we had a braisa that brought a machloikis Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonason. How you know that Mila Bizmanoi is Doichet Saras? According to Rabbi Yoshi, it's learned from a pasuk. The pasuk says Bisar, and we learn from there, Afal Pishiyeshon Baheres, still you're supposed to do the Mila. Abaye originally thought that price was only going according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Shimon, it's a Davashayna Meschavin, so what do you need a pasuk for? What's the issue with a Mila Bitsaras? Then Abaye came around. He agreed with what Rava taught him, and that is Moedir Rav Shimon b'psek reisha v'layomis. But the Gemara is going back to the Me'ikara of Abaye. Before Abaye came around, says the Gemara, Abaye then learnt the pasuk or Bisar, that Shitas Rabbi Yoshia, only Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, Abaye Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, Hai Bisar Mayavale, what then would Rabbi Shimon do with the word Bisar? If you only need Bisar, Aliba de Rabbi Yoshia, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, then Aliba de Rabbi Yoshia, what does Rabbi Shimon do with the word Bisar? Rav Amram said, he held that it was negay, that pasuk, in the event that a person said clearly, Hinini Muchanim Zuman, I want to violate the Isser of Ishamer Benega Hatzaras. Meaning, I don't just want to do a bris milah, the Mayel said, but he said, no, I want to also be metahir this person. I also want to remove this nega. The Gemara says, Tenach Godol, Katam Ayikul Meimer. Okay, that makes sense. If this, we're dealing with someone that's already a bar mitzvah, someone that's older, and he decides that he's doing his own bris milah, or he instructs someone to do the bris milah on his behalf, and this is what he says. He says, I'm having kavana to remove the beheres, but a katan, an 8-day-old baby, mayikilamemer. What does the katan know? The katan knows to say this. I'm Rav Sharshi, the obvious answer. But so where the father made that same proclamation. The point is, negay the word besar, where there was kavana, where there was a specific kavana, freaking Gemara, a bumbakasha, which is really the topic of a lot of raid that we're not going to talk about today. But the Gemara's kash is that I don't understand. If we're talking about a situation where the father is going to do the bris milah, or let's say the father instructed someone to do the bris milah, and he told him, I want you to do the bris milah, but don't just have in mind to remove the milah to be mekayim the mitzvah of milah, but I also want you to be mekayim the idea that you're going to be matir my son, which means really you're violating Yishamah b'nega atzara. So we're saying that based on the word besar, it's okay. If I can, that's what Bisar is coming to teach me. I'll leave it to Rav Shimon. Right to Gemara, I don't even think it should be okay to do the bris milah. Because v'ika achar, if there's another person that could do the milah, li'avadach, then the other person should do it. You know why? Because if the father who has in mind to be metaher, the child from the beheres, does the bris milah, he's violating Hishama b'nega tzaras. If a shliach does it, the shliach's also violating Hishama b'nega tzaras. Maybe. If someone else would do the milah, that person wouldn't violate Hishama b'nega tzaras. So even if it's true that it's okay to do bris milah at the expense of Hishama b'nega tzaras, but you would think it's b'dieved. It's something that, yeah, if you have no choice, you have no choice. But the Gemara's kash is, if there's someone else to do bris milah, shouldn't the other person do it? And it's based really on Dechiyo 101. Amar Rish Lakish said, Komak b'shat ha'moyis ha'seh v'lois ha'seh. Anytime you have a face-off between an essay and a lois ha'seh, so what's the rule? Ha'seh d'ich lois ha'seh. But only amati yoch l'kayim shneyem. But if it's possible to do the essay and not violate the lois ha'seh, mutav, that's what you're supposed to do. V'mlav, it's only if you have no choice. Yov ha'seh v'yitcha lois ha'seh. So the Gemara's question is, that why are we allowing the father now to be the balabas of this bris milah? We should take the rights away from him. Somebody else should go ahead and do the bris milah and not have in mind to violate the Isra of Yishama b'nega tzara. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's a good point. However, the Lekka Acher, it's talking about where there was nobody else to do it. Either way, Shabbos Taf Kuflam and Gimel, incidentally, needs an asterisk next to it. Because there isn't, there's so much raid in this Gemara. It's Hafoichba, Vahafoichba, the Kulaba. We just concluded the first epic part of this daf. There's going to be several others. Zok de Gemara Amamar. Going back to one of the braises that the Gemara brought on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis. The braise over there, again, we were discussing Mila bin Doicha Shabbos, Mila bin Doicha Tzaras. Could Mila be Doicha Yontif? So if it could be Doicha Shabbos, of course it could be Doicha Yontif. However, a little bit of a chiddush, mila that's doicha yontiv is only mila bezmanoi. But mila shaloi bezmanoi is not doicha yontiv. Now, the fact that mila shaloi bezmanoi is not doicha Shabbos, we said that's poshet. Because mila is an ase, Shabbos is a lois ase vase, Shabbos is a lois ase sheesh, but garish sheesh, but mises bezin. So based on the universally accepted rules and regulations of the chi, it's obvious why mila shaloi bezmanoi is not doicha Shabbos. Mila bezmanoi, b'yei mashmini, yim obsar losi, there's a pasuk. But mila shaloi bezmanoi is not a pasuk. But what about yontif? So at first glance, yontif is not a lois ase sheesh, but garish. So based on that, you could argue that maybe the ase of Mila should be doicha the lois asay of yontif. So it's with that backdrop says the Gemara. Oh my Mary, yontif ain't doicha el bezmano. Mila bezmano is doicha yontif, but Mila shloim bezmano is not doicha yontif. Minayin b'li hadin el b'samach chizki zevichatan avay chizki was taught in the yeshiva of chizki. So chizki said it as in the Rosh Yeshiva, and in the yeshiva of chizki they also said it. Oh my God, the pasuk says lois soisiru mimenu ad boiker. The context is the carbon pesach. Carbon pesach had to be eaten, but leil pesach. There was an Isser in the Torah to leave it overnight. Meaning, if the first morning of Pesach, you wake up and there's a little bit of flesh left over from the Karban Pesach, you violated the Lois Asay in the Torah of Lois Soy Siru Mimenu Ad Boiker. And then the Torah says, what happens if you did leave over? So the Gemara says, it says the word Ad Boiker twice in this pasuk. It seems redundant. It's coming to teach me that you're not allowed to burn the noisa, you're not allowed to burn the leftover flesh from the Karban Pesach on Yontif, but rather you have to wait until the next day. The next day is already Chol HaMoed, the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, that's when you're supposed to burn it. What do you see from there? You see that a carbon that is brought before Yontif can't be burnt on Yontif. The Karban Pesach was brought on Erev Pesach, Yudal and Nisan. It was eaten b'leil Pesach, on Pesach. But the Hakrova was Erev Pesach. So the Torah is saying you can't burn the noiser of a vachendige carbon on Yontif. So if that's the case, it makes sense. You shouldn't be able to do a bris milah where the real zman was not supposed to be on Yontif. There's a milah shaloi bezmanoi on Yontif. If you can't be makriv a choyl carbon on Yontif, you shouldn't be able to do a choyl milah on Yontif either. Abayi said a similar makar. Oh my God, the pasuk says, oilas Shabbos b'shabatoi, v'loi oilas choyl b'shabbos, v'loi oilas choyl b'yontif. You weren't allowed to burn the meat of the oila on Shabbos, if it was an oila that was brought during the week. The same was true for Yontif. So again, what do you see? That oilas chayil, you can't burn on Yontif. So too, a child with a mila bismane was supposed to be b'chayil, you wouldn't be allowed to do the mila shaloi bismane on Yontif. Rav Amar Rav had a third makar. Oh my God, the pasuk says, hu levadai yeyasa lechem. This is the pasuk that says that on Yontif, you're allowed to do malacha seichel nefesh. Kol malacha lo yeyasa lechem. This is on Yontif. Acha she yeyacha lechel nefesh, hu levadai yeyasa lechem. So Rav said like this. Who teaches me v'le machshir? Machshire oichol nefesh anat oichol yontif. Levadoi, what does that teach me? V'loi mila shaloi bezmana. It's a mefurish pasuk. So, v'levadoi, v'loi mila shaloi bezmana. That's how you know that mila shaloi bezmana is not oichol yontif. Why would you have thought, said Rava, that it should be doichol yontif? So we mentioned, you would have thought, maybe because I say it's doichol lois, I say, I don't know. Rava says, no, I'll tell you why. Ask me kal v'chaymer. You would have made a kal v'chaymer. What's the kal v'chaymer? If mila is doichol Tsaras, then certainly it should be Doicha Yontif. Kamash Malon, that even though it's Doicha Tsaras, it's not Doicha Yontif, and the reason is based on a pasuk. This is, of course, Rava Lashitasai in the previous staff, where Rava held of this Kal V'chaymer. Rav Safra didn't agree with this Kal V'chaymer. Either way, Rav Ashi said, Shabbosin, who? That Rav Ashi said, I'll tell you how I know that Mila Shloim Bezman is not Doicha Yontif. The reason is because it says the word Shabbosin, and Shabbosin is an Aseh. V'havale Yontif, Aseh v'lois Aseh, v'ein Aseh Doicha, it's lois Aseh v'aseh. Rav Ashi said, it's Pasha, you don't need any Psukim. You don't have to come on to Sreifas Noiser on Pesach. You don't have to come on to Oilas Shabbos v'Shabbatoi, v'loi Oilas Chol b'Yontif. You don't have to come on to a Pasek. Who levade yeyase lochem levade v'loy mila shaloi bezmana? Rav Ashi said it's a svara, meaning the whole premise of why you thought mila shaloi bezmana should be doicha yontif is a mistake. What was sad that mila shaloi bezmana should be doicha yontif? Asay should be doicha lois asay. Shabbos we know it's lois asay sheyich bakaris, but this is just a regular lois asay. So based on that, you thought it should be doicha. Said Rav Ashi, machstatois yontif is not a regular lois asay. Yontif is a lois asay vasay, and even though asay is doicha lois asay, but asay is not doicha lois asay vasay. Incidentally, it would seem a little bit from this Gemara again, read for another day. But it seems a little from this Gemara that it was only Rav Ashi that held that Yontif is a loisaseh vaseh. Rav Ashi was the one that said that in addition to the loisaseh, that you're not allowed to do malach on Yontif, there's also an aseh. The aseh of Shabbosik. Incidentally, what's that pasik? Dabra b'nei Yisrael lemer b'chodesh ha-shvi b'echol ha-chodesh, Rosh Hashanah. Yil lechem Shabbosin zichroin trua mikro kodesh. So the word Shabbosin that Rav Ashi is referencing in is a pasik that's not talking about Yontif in general. It's talking specifically about Rosh Hashanah. But that's pashtus neither here nor there. The point is Rav Ashi has a chiddush that the word Shabbosin teaches me an aseh, but the point is that it's only Rav Ashi that holds it as Chiddush. But all the other Amiran, whether it was Rava, we had Chizkiya, we had Abai, they had other Mekairis. How you know the Milosh Leibizman is not Toich Yontif? It would seem that they hold that Yontif is not also a Lois Aseh Vaseh. Now the truth is, if you want to take this a drop further, Rava said that, how do I know that Milosh Leibizman is not Toich Yontif? From a pasuk. What do I need a pasuk for? Because on a pasuk, I would have made a kal v'chaymer. Bechura, why do you have to say on a pasuk, I would have made a kal v'chaymer? We will mire. Say on a pasuk, I would have thought I say is doich alois say. So it's actually mashma that Rava also holds like Rav Ashi. So geshmak. So comes out Chizki and Abai on the one hand, Rava and Rav Ashi on the other hand. That's the pashtos. Whether Yontif is alois say vase. Again, making a big deal about it because this is something that has implications in other sugyas. I think there's an etziv somewhere, incidentally, that says that the whole machloikis is only by other yomim toivim with the exception of Rosh Hashanah. But being that the word Shabbosin was mentioned beforeish in the Torah by Rosh Hashanah, I think he answers Shagasari's kasha with that. The whole machloikis was, what about other yomim toivim? Abi Rosh Hashanah, where it says beforeish Shabbosin, there could be it's going to be different. So the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer said, not only is Mila Deicha Shabbos, but Machshirei Mila is also going to be Deicha Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva argued, Klalom Rabbi Akiva. He said, any Milacha that you could have done Erev Shabbos is not going to be Deicha Shabbos. Any Milacha that you could have done Erev Shabbos is going to be Deicha Shabbos. Rabbi Yudam Rabbi, we said in the name of Rabbi, Lachak Rabbi Akiva. Not surprising. Number one, Lachak Rabbi Akiva Mechaveroi. Number two, Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. The Gemara earlier said that really wasn't just Rabbi Akiva that argued, it was all the Chachamim that argued. Because the Gemara said, Yachav Rabbim, Halachik Rabbim. Bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, you want to know who the Halach is? No suspense. Halachik Rabbi Akiva. Tananami. There's another Mishnah where we have the same Achlik Zerub Lezim the Chachamim. We know this already. Gabi Pesach, regarding the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach was Doich HaShabbos. Meaning, if your Dal and Nisan fell out on Shabbos, they used to bring the Karban Pesach. What about the Machshirim of the Karban Pesach? Machloik is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, Machshirim Mila is Doich, Machshirim Pesach is Doich. Rabbi Akiva said, no. Rabbi Akiva said the same Lashon. Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva. Kom Alach Shevshala, Lassoy Zemer of Shabbos, Eino Doich HaShabbos. Shchita, Shevshala, Lassoy Zemer of Shabbos, Doich HaShabbos. Same Rabbi Akiva. Here he's talking about Mila, there he's talking about Pesach. The same Rabbi Yudam Rav as well. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yudam Rav, Alach Rabbi Akiva. So Fei Demar Betzricha. Why Rabbi Yudam Rav have to pass like Rabbi Akiva by Mila, and why do you have to pass him by Pesach? Why do you have to say that Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva Machshirei Mila is not Doich HaShabbos? Why do you have to pass him like Rabbi Akiva to say that Machshirei Pesach is not Doich HaShabbos? Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Yes, Shmini Gabi Mila, had he only paskined, had Rabbi Yehuda Rav only said that Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva by Mila, I would have thought, Hasmud Machshirei Nefshalas is Ma'as Molei Doich HaShabbos, the Lekha Karas. Maybe Dafke Mila where there's no Karas. What do you mean, Mila, there's no Karas? Everyone knows Mila, there's Karas. Yeah, but there's only Karas, Mila, for a Gadol. We're dealing with Mila Bismanoi. Because Mila Shaloi Bismanoi is not Toich HaShabbos. So, for an 8-day-old child, there's no Karas. Karas will be at play if the child still doesn't have a bris mila by his bar mitzvah. But at this point, there's no chorus. So being that there's no chorus over here, maybe here we go like Rabbi Akiva. Avo Pesach, the ikka chorus, emilut cheshabbos. But Pesach, where if somebody doesn't bring the carbon Pesach, and now you're not bringing the carbon Pesach because of the machshire, maybe go like Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe it should be doich cheshabbos. Yes, meaning Gabbat Pesach and then Rabbi Yudam Rav said that Allah is keeping by Pesach. I would have told Mishnah Lichas Rola Yud Gimel Brisos. Pesach as big of a mitzvah it is, it's Chayvei Krisos. But at the same time, there weren't 13 covenants that were exchanged between Klal Yisrael and Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Avol Mila, the Nichrasu Aleh Yud Gimel Brisos. Not just the Bris, 13. Eimo Litchu Shabbos. You would have thought it should be Deicha Shabbos. Says the Gemara Tzricha. That's why we needed the Zok, the Mishnah Vayten. This next Mishnah is also a very, very classic Mishnah. Oisin Kol Tzarchei Mila B'Shabbos. So you're allowed to do all the Tzarchei Mila for Shabbos. Mila is Deicha Shabbos. Anything that's integral to Mila is also Deicha Shabbos. Number one, Mayalin. You do the Mila. Number two, Pyron. You do the Priya. Number three, Umaitzitzin. We do Mitzitz on Shabbos. V'noisnin olel ispalonos. V'kamay. Once upon a time, after Bris Mila, to help heal the wound, so people would place an ispalanis, like a sponge, a moich. They would put a little cumin on it and apply it onto the wound. So the halach is, that's another thing that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Imla shachi b'erev Shabbos. What if you didn't grind the cumin before Shabbos? Lo yis b'shinav. So you shouldn't grind it in the regular way on Shabbos, but right, you should do it with a shino. You should chew it with your teeth, v'noisin, and do it that way. Imla tarif yayin v'shem b'erev Shabbos. Another thing they used to do is they would take wine and oil, they would mix it together really, really well, and again, apply it on the wound. That's another thing that's not so simple to do on Shabbos. So what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to do it on Erev Shabbos. What happens if you didn't do it on Erev Shabbos? Then you're not saying Zeba Asma, Zeba Asma. Don't mix it well, but rather put the oil, put the wine, and let it mix itself. What if you don't have a bandage? So you let it take a shirt, cut it on Shabbos, so you're not supposed to do the katkhila. What should you do? You should take a shmata and try to wrap it around the wound. What if you don't have a shmata at all? It's a karechal, it's boy, you can carry it. But the way you carry it is you put it on your finger, umevi, and you can bring it, afilu mechatza acheres, even from another chatza. Zok te gemara, mechti. Ktani kulu, the Mishnah meant seemed to have gone through everything that's necessary. I mean, this Mishnah really, in a nutshell, is all the Tzarchei Mila. So the Gemara's question is, why did the Mishnah have to preface this by saying, Oysen Kal Tzarchei Mila, Oysen Kal Tzarchei Mila? And then you went ahead and told me everything. So if you weren't going to tell me everything, oh, then it's an important heading, Oysen Kal Tzarchei Mila. But if you're going to tell me everything, so why do you have to say Oysen Kal Tzarchei Mila? Sakti Gemara, Lasuye Mai, what's it coming to be Marba? It sounds like coming to be Marba something. Sakti Gemara, Lasuye Hadatan Rabban. It's coming to be Marba the following, and this next Gemara might be the most famous Gemara in Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. Hamo, if someone is doing a Bris Mila, so the way Rashi learns the Gemara, we're dealing with someone that's doing Bris Mila on Shabbos. Because Manchu Oysik B'Mila, as long as he's involved in the Mila, Chayzer, he goes back to remove bein alatzitzin ha-ma'akvenes ha-mila u'bein alatzitzin she'ena ma'akvenes ha-mila. So apparently there's tzitzin, shreds of something that need to be removed when the mile does the bris mila. And apparently not all of these tzitzin were created equally as it relates to Hilchas Mila. There are the tzitzin ha-ma'akvenes ha-mila. There are the tzitzin that if the mile doesn't remove, he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah mila, as if he didn't do the bris mila. And then there are the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvenes ha-mila. They're not ma'akiv. So why are we even talking about those tzitzin? Because even the tzitzin she'ena ma'akven es ha-mila, lechatchila, the mayo was supposed to remove. We'll see in the Gemara, when the mayo removed those tzitzin, the mila is more mehudar, and he's mekayim with that, zekei levanveil. So we're dealing, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, with a mila bismanoi that's being done on Shabbos. And the mayo is doing what he has to do. He left some of the tzitzin. He didn't remove them. So the question is, does he go back now? He finished doing the bris mila. Does he go back to remove the tzitzin? Does he not remove the tzitzin? So the price is very simple. As long as the moils is doing the mila, he's oisek still in the mila, he's not finished, he didn't wrap the baby up yet, then chayzer, he goes back, bein ala tzitzin ha-makvenes mila, bein ala tzitzin she'ena ma'akvenes mila. Pirish, once, however, he stops doing the bris mila, it's over, the mila's done, then al tzitzin ha-makvenes mila chayzer, then he goes back for the tzitzin ha-makvenes, that he has to do. It's ma'akven in the bris mila. But al tzitzin she'ena ma'akvenes mila, ain't chayzer. But as it relates to the tzitzin that are not ma'akven the mila, for that he doesn't have to go back. Zok to Gemara, man tana pirish eni chayzer. Who's the tana that holds that once the mayo was pirish, he doesn't go back for the tzitzin she'ena ma'akven es ha-mila? Amar Rabba bar Barchano, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishol ben Yochem ben Broiki. I think it's Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishol ben Yochem ben Broiki. Who's the shitas? We've seen this already earlier in the Masech. The time we learned to the Bais Abbas, Shcholiyas b'Shabbos. If your dalnisa falls out on Shabbos, they used to bring the carbon Pesach. Ma'afshir haPesach ad achazo. Div Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishol ben Yochem ben Broiki. Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishol ben Yochem ben Broiki said that when they skinned the carbon Pesach to remove the meat and the emurim, they didn't skin it in the regular way. Usually they used to skin the entire animal. But being that this is being done on Shabbos, and skinning an animal on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachos, so Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishol ben Yochem ben Broiki said, you can't do this in the normal fashion. So you can skin it, but only to the extent that you have to skin it. Skin it enough to remove the emurim. But beyond that, it's not going to be okay. You can be mafshit the whole thing. So what does that have to do with what we're discussing? So this is a little bit of a leap. Says the Gemara, Yesh Loimar, that why, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochem ben Broiki, can't you skin the whole thing? Pshat probably is like this. Because the way it was done was they used to skin up until the chaza, then they would remove the emurim. So really, if you're going to skin the rest of the animal, you'd have to be chayzer. You'd have to go back. Being that it's not ma'akiv, and it's Shabbos, so you're not chayzer for a dabash, and a ma'akiv. So the Gemara says, Gishmak, this is the source. He's the Tana that holds that the mayo who's doing Mila, which he's allowed to do, he's removing tzitzin, which he's again allowed to do, but once he stops to be chayzer for a dovish, ain't a ma'akiv, it's not ma'akiv to be mafshit the rest of the animal, so it's not okay, but the Gemara says, me my, I don't know if it's a tzushal, I'd kind of come, maybe Rishon Rechim said it's halacha, but Rishon Loibina Zakeh Levandeyu, because there's no hiddur, there's no real good positive reason to do the hefshet. Aval hocha, the bina Zakeh Levandeyu, but over here we're dealing with Zakeh Levandeyu. Over here, if the mile's not going to remove the tzitzin, shayna ma'akiv and asamilo, so it's going to come out, it wasn't Zakeh. Maybe here it makes sense for him to go back. Time to the Bryce. What is Zeh Keli Van Veyo? Another classic Gemara. Zeh Keli Van Veyo of Oz Yosher fame. It's not the fun of a mitzvah. A person when he does a mitzvah, he should make the mitzvah beautiful. I say the fun of sukkah no. A nice sukkah lulav no. For shayfer no. Titz no. Say for toira no. For kasev al shmoi. Say for toira should be written lishma. Apparently that has something to do with Zekei Livandeu. Bidyoi noir, with nice ink. Bekumis no, with a nice fader. Belavler umen, with a good cipher, a choshev cipher. Vekarcha, you should wrap it b'shiroim noim, in something very nice. Abishol had a different shot. He said, Va'anveyu is coming to teach me, Va'anveyu, heavy doimoloi. What it means is you should be like Hashem. Where do you see that in Va'anveyu? Rashi, anivahu. It should be a Va'anveyu, anivahu. There should be a similarity between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, another important Gemara. Mahu chanun v'rachum. Hashem is a chanun v'rachum. Afato heye chanun v'rachum. But bottom line is, you see from here the idea of hiddur mitzvah is a kelu v'anveyu. So therefore the Gemara says, just because Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishev Rechem Breika holds that you don't go back and you're not allowed to, once you're pirish, skin the rest of the animal, doesn't necessarily mean that as it relates to hiddur mitzvah, the halacha is going to be the same. So again, we return to the question, which is, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Who holds that once the Moel finishes doing the Mila, and he realizes he left Tzitzin, She'enon ma'akvin es ha-Mila, that the halacha is he's not allowed to be Chayza, Elam Ravashi, and this is even a bigger leap. Hamani Rabbi Yosi, it's Rabbi Yosi, how we learn to the Mishnah, Bench, near Balil, Bench, Lein, near Balil, the context is Kiddush HaChayidash. So if once upon a time, Bezin was Mekadesh, was the Chayidash, based on Re'iyah. Two Edom would walk into Bezin, they would say, we saw the new moon, and it was on their testimony that it was declared that it was going to be Rosh Chodesh. The halacha is that it was okay for people to be Mechalel Shabbos, to go outside of the Tchum, for example, to tell Bezin that they saw the new moon. Stating that, there was a Machlokes Tanam. What if the moon was so clear? No one in the... Everybody saw it. So you Mechalel Shabbos for that or not? On the one hand, you never know. But then again, if it's so clear, it's so Balil, Bezin probably doesn't need you. So why be Mechal Shabbos? So it's a Mishnah. Bein Shenir Balil, U Bein Shalainir Balil. Whether the moon was able to be seen clearly or wasn't able to be seen clearly. Mechal in all of us Shabbos. That if you were seen clearly, you're not Mechal Shabbos. What do you see from here? So it's not so clear what you see from here. But the Gemara is saying, you see from here that if you're doing something that's a mitzvah, but if it's not really needed, so you can't be Mechal Shabbos. So you can't go once you're Pirish and be Mechal Shabbos for the Tzitzin She'enem Ma'akvin Es Hamila. But the Gemara says, Mimai, what's the Tzushal? Dil Ma'at Kan L'Kom Rabbi Yosi. Maybe Rabbi Yosi only said it's Halachul Nitna Shabbos L'Dochos. Because why you be Mechal Shabbos? This is not a Shabbos that you need to violate. Aval Hocho, we had the Nitna Shabbos L'Dochos. Over here, we're anyways violating Shabbos. So Achinami, maybe over here it should be different. Elo Nardai. So Nardai said, Rabbanan the Pligal led Rabbi Yosi. I'll tell you who the Shtan of that price is. Rabbanan argues Rabbi Yosi. Now we into the Mishnah. Is describing the changing of the guard, specifically of the Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim, Yud Beis Chalois, Shnei Bezich Levoina, they were Makta the Shnei Bezich Levoina on the Mizbeach, and that was Matter, the Yud Beis Chalois, which were divided by the different Kayanim. Six were given to the Mishmar HaYotze, and six were given to the Mishmar HaNichnos of Mesechtes Menachos fame. So the Mishnah over here in Menachos is describing exactly how the changing of the old Chalois and the new Chalois happened. Abok Kayanim Nechasim. There were four kayhanim. Shnei biyadim, shnei sedarim. Two of them were holding two sedarim. Each seder was made up of six loaves of bread. Shnei biyadim, shnei bezichim. The other two were holding the shnei bezichei levoinim. Arba makdim lefneihem. And then there were another four. Shnei litel, shnei sedarim. Two of them were going to remove the old yud beis chalis. Shnei litel, shnei bezichim. The other two were going to take the old bezichei levoinim. Hamachnisim loim lebetzafin. The ones that were entering, meaning bringing the new schayra, so they stood to the north, ufneim ladarim, they faced the south. Vamitzin, oim de bedarim, they stood to the south, ufneim ladarim, they faced, so they're facing each other. Elon moishchin, they removed of Elon manichin, tifchay shazabasat, tifchay shazah, bishum shenemar, lefnei Hashem tomid. Point is, it had to be tomid. There couldn't be one second where you didn't have the yudbeis chalos and the shnei bezichal, you didn't have the yudbeis chalos on the shulchan. So you had to make sure, you couldn't say, oh, well, first we'll remove these and then We'll put the other note. It says Tamid. So it had to be there literally every second. So that's why it was done with such precision to make sure that it was Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Afilu elu noitav elu manichin. I've said how you're Tamid. No, they didn't have to be so medactic. You can take and you can put it back. That's also called Tamid. The Gemara from here learns, incidentally, Menachas Sadik Tes Amid Beis. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi when it says, Layomash Sefer HaTorah Zemi Picha V'Gisim Ayayim V'Layla. Doesn't mean Tamid. I feel like Karel, like Kriyash Mashachas V'Arvas, you could be even kind of the mitzvah. But then the Gemara says, don't tell this to an Amoritz because, you know, he may run with it. But says the Gemara, this is Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Yossi also, that's enough of them. So what do you want from here? What's up to do with our sugya? So you see from here that if two things happen sort of in the same time, even if it's not mamish second by second, you don't have to be medaktik or chotasaira. That's considered tamid in halacha. So the Gemara argues, the Gemara suggests that the same should be true over here. You have a mayo, he does a bris milah, and he wrapped up the baby, and he left out the tzitz and shein ma'akim as a milah. So is he allowed to open up the baby, go back? I mean, it's not ma'akim. According to Rabbi Yossi, yeah, it's still tamid. We're still involved. This is enough. If that's the case, it would be okay. Zok de Gemara. Tanu Rabbana. Mahalkiten es hamila. The halacha is that you have to finish the mila. You have to remove even the tzitzin hama'akim. Vimloi hilket. And if you didn't remove it, anush karas. Karas. Doesn't matter. Mani. Who's chayiv karas? I'm Rav Kahan. Rav Kahan said umen. We're talking about the mila was on Shabbos. The mayal did the bris mila, didn't finish the mila. So what happens if the mayal does the bris mila on Shabbos, he doesn't finish the mila? He violated Shabbos. But he wasn't a kind of mitzvah. See, he doesn't have Ubayyeh Mashmini Yimab Sar Lasa, he's going to be Chayiv Karas. Maskele Rapapa, Rapapa said, but I don't think that's fair. Because Uman Lamadu, why can the Uman say, I know Abdi Palga the mitzvah? I don't have these who Palga the mitzvah. Why can he say, you know what, I did part, I did the Mila, I didn't do the Priya, I did the Mila and the Priya, I didn't remove the tzitzin, I'm going home now, you finish the mitzvah. I'm a chuyiv to finish the whole mitzvah? Interesting question. Elam Rapapa, Rapapa said, Gadol. That means the Gadol. We're talking about a Gadol, not Shabbos, not a Mila Bismanai. Someone's older. He has sits in Amakvin as a Mila. If he doesn't remove it, he's Chayiv Karas. Just like if he didn't do Bris Mila, he'd be Chayiv Karas. If he did the Bris Mila, but he didn't remove the sits in Amakvin, he would also be Chayiv Karas. Maskel of Rav Ashi, God of a Hedyuk Sive. Why did Rav Papa have to tell this to me? Oh, it's a Brisa. Ma'alkitan as a Mila, Vim Lahilkitan as Karas. You need a Brisa to tell me a Pasik, V'aru Zachash lo Yimel. We know the Pasik. So whatever's Ma'akvin in the Mila will be Chayiv Karas. Elam Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi again has the final say, as he almost always does. Really, we're going back and we're talking about Amila Bismani. And you want to know who's Chayiv Karas? The Mayo's Chayiv Karas. Why is he Chayiv Karas? Because he did a halba maisa. So if you do a half a job, you machal Shabbos, shaloi b'magam mitzvah. Why can't the Mayo say, I did what I had to do, you finish it? Well, I'm achroi to finish it. We're going to also bein hashmashes to Shabbos. It's talking about we started doing the bris mila bein hashmashes. Vamrulei, and the oilam told him, loi mesafkis, it's getting late, it's shkia, the sun is setting. This is not good. Don't do the bris mila. You're not going to have enough time to finish. Vamrulei, he said, no, mesafikna, I'm going to have time. Vavad, and he did the bris mila, v'loi yestapik, and he didn't finish. Vishtakach, the chabura, who the avid banish karas. You have a hechatimsa where he was by Shea, and it's for that reason, he's going to be Chayiv Karas. Before we go weiter, just to point out, you know, we learned this Gemara the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Hamol kol zman shu oisik memilo chayzer ben al tzitzin ha-ma'akvin ha-samilo ben al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin ha-samilo. Pireish, you go back for the tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, not for the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. Rashi learns the Gemara is talking about a mila on Shabbos. Mila b'Shabbos is really not so simple. So even though you remove the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin ha-samilo, that's only while you're involved in the mitzvah. But once you walk away from the mitzvah, at that point, it's not okay. But the Rambam Kiyodua has a different shot in the Gemara. The Rambam says this has nothing to do with a meal b'Shabbos. This could be a meal on Tuesday. And says the Rambam, the only time you can remove the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin as a mila is while you're doing the bris mila. But once you finish the bris mila, there's no inyan anymore of removing the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin as a mila. The question is, why not? The way Rashi explains the Gemara, we understand it. Because really, it's Shabbos. Removing the tzitzin involves chil Shabbos. So there's an idea. If it's not ma'akim, maybe it shouldn't be okay. Oh, but the Rambam says even on a weekday. What's Pashup Shan in the Rambam? So Kiyodua, we spoke about this at length in the beginning of the Masechta and Perek by Memad Likin. But the Beis Halevi said that you see from this Rambam a very big yesod. That hiddur mitzvah, you could only be mekayim while you're doing the mitzvah. I can't do a mitzvah today and then do the hiddur mitzvah tomorrow. So while I'm involved in the mitzvah, there's an inyan of removing the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin es hamila. But pirech, once you walk away from the mitzvah's done. It's finished. Tam v'nishlam. So now you're going to do hiddur mitzvah, you're a day late and a dollar short. You have to do it b'shas ma'isa. If you don't do it b'shas ma'isa, there's a tremendous yesod in hiddur mitzvah. But again, we're going to focus the rest of the daf and the read by it on this next Gemara. So the Mishnah said that you're allowed to do all the Tzarchei Mila on Shabbos. What are the Tzarchei Mila? You could do the Mila, you could do the Priya, you could do the Mitzitza, says the Gemara. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, Hay umna deloy mayetz. A mayel that doesn't do Mitzitza, sakonahu. He's putting the child's life in danger. And we don't allow this person to do Bris Mila anymore. It's obvious. It's obvious that he's putting the child's life in danger. And if that's the case, it's obvious that we can't allow him to do Bris Mila. Because from the fact that the Mishnah says that you're allowed to do mitzitza on Shabbos, why are you allowed to do it? Must be sakonahu. So you see clearly that it's a sakana. So if it's a sakana, how could you allow a mayel to put a child's life in sakana? So straight to Gemara, Papa? Pshita. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so pashit. You don't necessarily see it from the Mishnah, because you could have learned the Mishnah a little differently. Maldetem, I would have thought, haidam if good pocket. Maybe when the mayel does mitzitza, so he sucks out the blood from the aver, it could be that blood is not really embedded in the body enough that when somebody removes it, we should assume that he's being Mechal Shabbos. Maybe it's Mifka pocket. It's in the body, but more superficially. Kamashma, that's where Papa was Chiddush was. That really Chaburi Michbar, it's very much embedded in the blood. And if that's the case, from the fact that we're allowed to do it on Shabbos, it's a raya that it must be because of sakana. And if it's because of sakana, you can't allow a mayel to do a bris mila and not allow him and not do the mitzitza. The Gemara says, "V'dumi des palanas v'kamein." And in fact, it's similar to das palanas and kamein. Mas palanas v'kamein kiloyavet sakanu avachenami kiloyavet sakanu. Meaning, the reason it's okay to do the mitzitza on Shabbos is because the mitzitza is to the mila like das palanas and like the cumin that was applied to the wound is. It's something that the baby needs for sakana. And as a result, if it's a dover that we need for sakana, it wouldn't be okay. In other words, the Gemara had two suggestions of how to understand why you could do mitzitza on Shabbos. Milas doicha Shabbos. But only the tzarchei mila, only things that are integral. Otherwise, we're not going to just go ahead and be mechal Shabbos. Now, Nisha said you could do mitzitza. And really, that may wrong, but bothered. Why are you allowed to do mitzitza? Mitzitza, you're removing blood from the body. It's not something you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Could be it's mefarik, whatever the malach is, but that's not something that you're allowed to do. It certainly involves chil Shabbos. So why is it okay? And the Gemara had two tzadim. Maybe the reason it's okay is because the dam is mifkut pocket, so you're really not violating any chil Shabbos. You're not violating any chil Shabbos, so that's why it's something you're allowed to do. Oye shloimer, maybe really it's chiburi michbar. Really you are violating Shabbos. And if that's the case, why are you allowed to do it? It has to be because it's bekuach nefesh. Rapapa said, if this is a question of sakonis nefashis, then there's no question, said Rapapa, it must be that it's something that's very important. And if it's very important, hay umna deloy mayetz, if there's going to be a moil who's not going to do the mitzitza sakonahu, he's putting the child's life at sakonah, v'avrinale, and as a result, we would have no choice but to remove him. At first glance, when you learn this Gemara, it would seem that mitzitza is not really a part of mitzvahs milah. Rather, it's something that we do defensively because we're concerned that if we're not going to do the mitzitza after the milah, the child's life is going to be at risk. In other words, at a bris milah, the first thing that happens is the milah removes the arla. The second thing that the Moyle does is, there's a layer of skin that he rolls back, that's what's known as Priya. The Gemara says, Movaloi para ki'ilu loy mo. Mila and Priya are, without question, part and parcel of Bris Mila. Right after the Moyle does the Priya, he does Mitzitza. Mitzitza is usually done bepeh, and what he does is he puts his mouth on the aver and he sucks out a little bit of blood. The Makar is the Mishnah that we just learned. The Mishnah says not only is Mitzitza something that's supposed to be done, it was done on Shabbos, not just that. Rapapa said that if there's a moil that doesn't do Mitzitza, avinonle, we have no choice, we have to remove him, we can't let this moil ever do Bris Mila. But from the Gemara that we just learned, this very, very short Gemara, it seems clear that Mitzitza is not really part of Mitzvah Smila. Why? Because mitzitza is part of mitzvah mila, and it's an integral part of mitzvah mila. What's the havamina you shouldn't be able to do it on Shabbos? If mila is doicha Shabbos, so why shouldn't mitzitza be doicha Shabbos? Rapapa said that from the fact that mitzitza is doicha Shabbos, that's a raya, that if you don't do mitzitza, the child's life is going to be in sakana. The child's life is going to be at risk. As a result, it's pekuach nefesh. Pekuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. Why does it have to do a pekuach nefesh? Mila is doicha Shabbos. Priya is doicha Shabbos. Why shouldn't mitzitza be doicha Shabbos? At first glance, it's clear that mitzitza is definitely not a mitzvah, or at the very least, not a mitzvah that's ma'akiv, not a mitzvah that's ma'akiv as it relates to the idea of it being something that needs to be done in order to have a proper bismillah. And in general, the whole Rav Papa was Hayumna Deloy Mayitz Sakonahu Vavrinale. Why did Rav Papa say that the reason this mayil is going to be removed from his position is because we put the child's life at sakana? If there's a mayil that doesn't do the mitzvah properly, you would think you remove him, right? What's the shaila? So if there's a maltfilah, he skips part of davening, huh? You remove him. You have to daven like a mensch. If you skip part of davening, he doesn't do chazaras hashatz. Okay, you're out. We're going to find another maltfilah. If there's a mayil that doesn't do mitzitza, of course you remove him. You remove him because he wasn't bekai in the mitzvah. Rav Papa said, you know why you remove him? Because he's putting the child's life at risk. What do you mean? He didn't do the mitzvah. Elamai, it's clear in the Gemara that mitzitza is not part of mitzvah's milah. It's not a chelak of the mitzvah. The mitzvah's milah, the mitzvah's priya. There's something called mitzitza. Why did Chazal say you should do mitzitza? It's very clear, because Chazal felt that if you don't do mitzitza, the child's life is going to be besakana. And being that the child's life is going to be besakana, so you can't let a child be besakana. It's for that reason that we do mitzitza. Ki yodua, in the 19th century, there was a tremendous controversy amongst the Gedolei Yisrael with regards to mitzitza, specifically mitzitza bepeh. There were a lot of people that tried being mevatel mitzitza bepeh. They felt that it wasn't something that was necessary to do, and it was something that they wanted to be mevatel. And the truth is, amongst the people that were fighting to stop doing mitzitza bepeh, they were really divided into two groups. You had the maskilim. The Maskilim, these were the reformers, and they were trying to reform all of Judaism. Anything that they felt was antiquated, anything that they felt was archaic, anything that they felt was quote-unquote embarrassing. This is the Am Chacham V'Navayim, this is what we do. And these were things that they tried being mevatel. The Maskilim put up a big fight, and some of them were learned, and they argued that this is something that you're not supposed to do. But the truth is that there were a lot of Gedolei Yisrael, a lot of people that fought and dedicated their lives to go against the maskilim, that agreed. And they also felt that mitzitza bepeh is something that you should be mevatel. And really what triggered this debate was, is that there were stories being told of children that had a bris milah, and shortly after bris milah, a perfectly healthy child died. And they consulted doctors, and the doctors said that they believed it's the mitzitza that's doing it, because the mayil had some sort of infection, and he was transmitting the virus through the mitzitza, and as a result, children were dying. So there were Gedolei Yisrael that started tumbling, and they said, Mehechatei, so we should do this. Like, why should we go ahead and do mitzitza bepeh? Like, for what? If you're putting a child's life at risk, like, who gives you a right to do it? And really, the argument to be mevatel mitzitza bepeh was based on a few important tanachas. The first tanacha that it was based on is that mitzitza is not a mitzvah. We just learned the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that there's no mitzvah. You don't have to do bris milah. Rav Papa said if a mohel doesn't do mitzitza, you remove him. Why do you remove him? Because he put the child in sakana. What do you mean? You remove him because he didn't do the mitzvah. It sounds a little bit like, really, it's not part of the mitzvah. It's just something that you do mishum sakana. Okay, if it's not part of the mitzvah, so now there's some gray area. There's some wiggle room. We have an opportunity, maybe, to make a change. If it's part of the mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah. You can't change that. But if it's not part of the mitzvah, then efshar. Now, why then do we do mitzitza? The Gemara said, because of sakana. So the Chevra said that they spoke to doctors, and all the doctors said that whatever the sakana was, bimei chazal, we don't have anymore. Nishtana hateva, there's no sakana. No doctor was aware of any real sakana that the child is going to be in as a result of the fact that he did a bris milah and he didn't do a mitzitza. And even if there is a sakana, there may be other ways to deal with that sakana. You certainly don't have to do mitzitza bepeh. It's not something that's ma'akev to remove the child from being in this state of sakana. So if that's the case, why should we do it? They argued that even if you're going to tell me that there is a sakana, if a child has a bris milah and there's no mitzitza being done, but I think the child is in a bigger sakana if you do the mitzitza. So if you're going to do a cost-benefit analysis, there's some rachik sakana that we don't even know what it is that Chazal were privy to once upon a time, for which we're going to do mitzitza bepeh, where you're clearly putting the child's life in danger when you do the mitzitza bepeh, based on a sakana that we can prove scientifically. So they felt, even if you want to tell me that maybe there is a sakana, but still, let's compare the two sakanas. It certainly makes more sense at this point, from a sakana perspective, to not do the mitzitza, than to do the mitzitza. But v'oidei tainer, even if you're going to tell me this is sakana, and even if you're going to tell me that Chazal said you have to do mitzitza, so who are we now, 1,500 years later or 2,000 years later, to go and to be mevatel the mitzvah of mitzitza? But they argued this camp, who said mitzitza has to be bepeh? Where does it say anywhere that the mitzitza has to be bepeh? What's the idea of mitzitza? You want to squeeze blood out of the aver. Okay, you have to do it with your mouth. Why can't you do it with your hand? Why can't you do it with a sponge? It was the 19th century. There was an enlightenment. There's other ways to do it. There were tubes. There were etzes. So the question was, who said it has to be bepeh? There is no mention anywhere in Chazal that it should be bepeh. It says umaytzes, and they weren't saying anything about doing it bepeh. The Rishonim don't even talk about it being done bepeh. The Masorah was that this is always the way it was done. But just because that's the way it was done, taimed these loichamim doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way it has to be done. So if it doesn't necessarily have to be done that way, so why are we putting the child at risk? Let's do mitzit. So we'll do it shaloi bepeh and we'll be fine. In other words, there were four main taimers that this group was arguing. Number one, mitzit is not a mitzvah. How do we know it's not a mitzvah? Because you see from the Gemara, you see that the only reason we remove the moil that doesn't do mitzitzah is because he put the child at risk. Why did you have to come onto the fact that he put the child at risk? Tepelei, he didn't do the mitzvah. The old Gemara, it's Toicha Shabbos, because Sakantahu, it's because of Bekuach. What's it do Bekuach Nefesh? Milus Toicha Shabbos. We have to come onto Bekuach Nefesh. So if it's not part of the mitzvah, so mecha tasty, we can't be mevatel. Number two, we spoke to all the doctors, they said there's no Sakana today if you don't do mitzitzah bepeh. So if there's no Sakana, mecha tasty. Number three, if you have a mayel that has some sort of infection that he may not even be aware of, you're dafka putting the child in sakana. You certainly don't have a right to do that. And then finally, number four, even if you want to do mitzitza, you feel that's not something that we have an ability to be mevatel, but who said it has to be prepared? Let's figure out another way to do mitzitza. One of the most vocal proponents to be mevatel, the minug or mitzvah of mitzitza bepeh, was the Rav and the Av Beis Din in Vienna. His name was Rabbi Elazar Halevi Ish Horowitz. He was an Enchel of the Hafla. The Hafla was Rabbi Pinchas Halevi Ish Horowitz. He was also a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. And what caused him to get so passionate about fighting this fight was that in Vienna there were many children that had died shortly after Bris Milah, and there was a doctor that he was in close contact with, and this doctor was telling him, he says, I'm telling you, making a mistake. This minig is Rahman al-Islam, putting children at very, very great risk, and this is something you have to be a mevatel. So Rabbi Elazar Halevi Ish Horowitz sat down, and he went through the noisei, and he concluded pretty much what we just mentioned, but he wasn't comfortable taking this on his own plates. So he said, I'm going to send a letter to my Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, and whatever my Rebbe tells me, the Chassam Sofer says, that's what I'm going to follow. So he sent his tshuva that he had written up to the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer wrote back that I'm maskim to everything that you said. And he printed the exact response that the Chassam Sofer gave him, and the gist of it was pretty much what we just said. Chassam Sofer grada added, he said that I know, Kabbalah, Tikkun Ezayah, Mitzitz is a very big deal, but the Chassam Sofer said what he always said, whenever Kabbalah permeated halach. He writes this in his tshuva several times. Ein li esek bin astaris. It's not something I get involved in. And he said, Bid, it's not something I get involved in. I can't paskin shailas. Certainly not a pekuach nefesh. And of these types of inyonim, based on a tikkun ezayar, ein li esek bin astaris. And based on Talut Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara that we just learned, mitzitza is mishum sakana. It's not ma'akiv in the mitzvah. It's not, certainly not something you have to do. And if it's not something you have to do, said Rabbi Elazar at Levi Yish Horowitz, I received a letter from the Chassam Sofer. And if the Chassam Sofer said it, checkmate, right? The truth is, there was another one of the Gedolim that also wrote a tshuva, and he also came out the way Rabbi Elazar Halevi Ish Horowitz said, and that was Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Chayes. It's printed in Shailos HaTshuvos Marat Tzchius. It's Simen Samach. So it's funny, he talks about this Derech Agav in the tshuva. We actually went through the first part of this tshuva when we learned Masechtas Menachos. This came up in Kachem. So this is the second part of the tshuva. He says like this, U'b'inyan ha-mitzitza hanuhuga etzleinu bepeh. As it relates to mitzitza, which people do bepeh, ubi amenu himtziu haroifim eze samim ashemoyel kemoya mitzitza. And there's other ways to do it today. Today you don't have to do mitzitza bepeh. Said Maratzchios hine kvar hoyre zokin hagoyim moifes adora moishe soifrezal of Bezden de Presburg kemoish roisi nidvas b'shmoy b'svarim chadashim ki ikra mitzitza rak mishum sakona v'chulu v'chulu. And if the whole thing is mishum sakona, said Maratzchios kvar hoyre zokin. Kvar hoyre zokin is a sprach that Rabbi Yudan Nossi said it earlier in the Masechta about about Rabbi Yossi. They asked him a shayla. They said, Rabbi Yossi said, Kvar Hoyre Zakin. We spoke at a tshuva once where there was a whole asik about heating up water on through a mitzvah, for a mikvah, for women to be able to go Friday night on Yontif, the whole showering on Yontif, and the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva about it. And then afterwards, he heard that tonight, the Yehuda, he said, Kvar Hoyre Zakin. Maybe you wrote a tshuva. He says, well, I'm going to come after the night of Yehuda. That's where Tzchiyah said. Once the Chassam Sofer says, checkmate, it's over. Kvar Hoyre Zakin. He said, Kvar Hoyre Zakin, there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. And if there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, so based on that, I don't think there's anything else to talk about. It's interesting. Maharaj Tzchiyah says that I actually found this in another Sefer. I found it somewhere else. Another one of the Gedolei Yisrael said the same exact thing that the Chassam Sofer said. Who was that? The Ktzos. The Ktsais HaChoshe, listen to this. And this is actually a very famous Ktsais. It's the Ktsais Simen Shin Pei Beis. We've spoken about it in the Daf a few times. The Ktsais has a famous Chiddush based on a Shach and a Rosh and Perikisei Adam and Masechta Schulin, and that is that if a father knows how to do Bris Milah, he's not allowed to make a Shliach to do the Bris Milah on his behalf. So most fathers do not do Bris Milah, but that's because they don't know how to do Bris Milah. What if you're a Maya and now you have a child? So, can I make a shliach to do it for somebody else? So the Shach says, a chiddush, it's based on a rush. He says you're not allowed to. The context is the halacha of asara zehuvim. The halacha is, if I'm in the middle of doing a mitzvah, and you go and you ganved a mitzvah from me, right? Somebody shachted an oif, and he has a mitzvah to do kisi adam. What happens if somebody else goes and does the kisi adam instead of him? He chapsoys the blood, he does the kisi adam. So the halacha is, he has to pay a fine. 10 zehuvim, 10 gold coins. That's what he has to pay. So he has to give the owner, he has to give 10 gold. The Rishonim, Tosfos speaks to that on Kisei Adam, and the Rosh as well. They say the only time this is true is if I was doing a mitzvah that I'm a bala bas on. It's my mitzvah. You went and you ganved from me my mitzvah. I shechted the oif. I have the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. It's mine. Now you're a ganev. You have to pay me 10 zehuvim. But what if I'm doing a mitzvah that you could have done for the same price? I'm not the boss of this mitzvah. I'm not the bayil. I'm not ownership on it. Then there's no halach of asara zehuvim. Tosfos gives examples. The Rosh gives examples. One of the Rosh's example of a mitzvah that you're not a bala bas on is what would be if there's a bris milah and you're a mayil and you walk into the bris and you have your suitcase and you're about to do your bris milah and all of a sudden somebody else comes, he takes out a knife, he makes the bracha, boom! And he does the bris milah. So says the Rosh, you don't have to pay him asara zehuvim. Says, why don't you have to pay him asara zehuvim? He says, because it's not his. He's the mayil. So if he's not the mayil, so zok the shach. You see from this Rosh that there's no shlichus when it comes to milah. There's no shlichus when it comes to milah. Freit the tefuah shor. Where do you see this in this? Where do you see this in this Rosh? Where do you see there's no shlichus? Zok the tzayis. Pasha, where you say it? Because the Rosh said there's no asara zehuvim. Why not? Because the mayil is not a balabas on this milah. Freit the tzayis. No, there should be asara zehuvim. Not to the mayil. There should be asara zehuvim to the father. Because if the mayil was going to do the bris milah, the father was going to get the mitzvah. And he's a bala bas on the mitzvah. So why do you have to pay asara zehuvim to the father? So zok the tzoyis, that was the shach's hechrich. That's where you saw in this Rosh, there's no shlichus by bris milah. That means if the father doesn't do it, the father doesn't get the mitzvah. The mayil, he's just hired. Somebody hired him, someone's paying him, but it's not his mitzvah. As a result, there's no asara zehuvim. But if there was shlichus by mila, time at the shach, the way the tzoyis is mazbe the shach, there would have been asara zehuvim. Not to the mayil. The mayil's still not the bala bas. There would have been asara zehuvim to the father. Elamite is no shlichus. So if this is the case, says the tzoyis and the shach, comes at a very important chiddush l'alach. If a father knows how to do bris mila, it's aser for him to appoint someone else to do it. So I'm reading to, this is the X of the one line in the Maritzchis, famous tzoyis, that the Maritzchis took out of this tzoyis. Ulefi machek osafti, gam midivrei harosh muchachachi, imkei. If someone can be a mayil, he has to do the milah by himself. He has to do the priyam by himself. Here's the punchline. Milvad metzitza, but he doesn't have to do the metzitza by himself. The eino yelo lerefuah. It's only the refuah. Bezeh yochel lechabdei la'acher. Can be mechabed that to whoever he wants. So said the Maritzchias, I have a ktsois in Simen Shin Pei Beis. One of those famous ktsoises. Where the ktsois Toich Dvarov said something about metzitza mepeh, right? It's amazing. But he says it's a mefurish ktsois. It's only the Shum refuah. So he says, kfar hoi rezak in the chsam soifer. It's a mefurish ktsois achoshin. So he said, based on that, it's pasha to me that it's not an issue. And if there's another way to go ahead and do the metzitza, you could do it in another way. But of course, even though Rabbi Loza Halevi Ish Horowitz, who was one of the Ga'inei Oilam, Enelka from the Flood, Talmud from the Chsam Soifin, and he had a letter from the Chsam Soifin, Vahir Rezakin, and Ratzvi Ashchayas and other Gedoilam supported this idea that we should go ahead and we should be mevatel the mitzvah of Mila, the mitzvah of Mitzitza Vepeh. But at the same time, there was another side to this story. And there were many, many Gedoili Yisrael that were Loichim, and they fought back very, very viciously. Very sharp. They felt absolutely not chalila for us to go ahead and to be mevatel metzitza bepeh. And Beroishon, the one who led the charge against this movement of metzitza bepeh, was Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, the Baal Aruch Laner, the author of the Shailas of Tshuvas Binyan Tzion. And he wrote two tshuvas about this. It's Tshuva Chav Gimel and Tshuva Chav Dalet, both in Chelek Aleph, where he spoke about this. And he argued with, really, methodically and systematically, it got late early, with every one of the points that this cat felt. He says, number one, they said, Who said metzitza has to be bepeh? Right, that was one of the big arguments. Who said that metzitza has to be bepeh? So he said, I think it's a toys. I think that minig Yisrael Torah, and if metzitza was always done bepeh, there's probably a reason it had to be done bepeh. The Rambam's lashon is that v'achakach, after you do the mila and the priya, you do metzitza, achiyetze adam mi mekoymos rechoykim. Until the dam is going to come out from the mekaymis rechaykim, said the Aruch Lanet, the only way the dam is going to come out from the mekaymis rechaykim is if you're going to do a pepeh. If you're not going to do a pepeh, it's not going to come out from the mekaymis rechaykim. And then the Aruch Lanet went on to say that the truth is he gives this unbelievable diktuk shir. Where what does the word metzitza mean? So he says you find it in three different places. V'nimtza dama, you have in Vayikra, and he finds three different places where you find the word metzitza, and he gives this whole literally a diktuk shir, and he says based on diktuk, the word metzitza means pepeh. That's what he comes out. He says, "Where metzitza means bepeh." He says, "Stam punk that was bepeh." He says, "No, it was bepeh because number one, you're trying to take from the mekayim esarachaykim, but more than that, it's the word metzitza means that. And if that's what metzitza means, so obviously that's the reason it's done bepeh." He said, "The oilam said that they spoke to the doctors, and the doctors say that there's no sakana." He says, "Let's agree that most children are not going to be besakana in the event that there's no metzitza done. Let's agree that 999 out of 1,000 aren't going to be besakana." But 1 out of 1,000 might be besakana. Said the Binyan Tzion that statistically, as long as there's even a little bit of a sakana, that qualifies already for it to be a sakana. So if that qualifies it already for it to be a sakana, who are we to say that it's no sakana? And it's a little deeper than that. He said, Bishloima, if we understood what the sakana was, right? If you know your enemy, then you can know if you defeated your enemy. But if you don't know your enemy, how do you know if you defeated him? How could you claim victory over a sakana that you don't understand? It doesn't make sense. So he said, you don't even know what the sakana was. You're acknowledging you don't know what the sakana was. So if you don't know what the sakana was, mechtes is still not there. And so you'll tell me, but we don't fashtay it. So who cares? Nobody asked your opinion. Chazal understood it. And if Chazal understood it, it is a sakana. If this was a sakana we understood, then you can claim victory over the sakana, maybe. But he says, not a sakana we understand anyways. So if it's not a sakana we understand anyways, so mehechetezi, who gives you a right to do it? And then the Binyan Tzion went on, and this is why he felt so passionate about arguing this. It was less about metzitza bepeh, it was more about the slippery slope, Torah and science. He says, someone's going to tell you today that, you know, we know that if you shecht an animal and there's sirchos on the lungs, so it's not kosher, it's a treifa. So what if somebody comes and says, I know for a fact every animal can live yud beis chaydish with sirchos. So that's it. There's not going to be glatt kosher anymore. He says, Roiv HaTorah is going to end up becoming bottle, and you're going to end up with nothing. And this was during the time of the Haskalah. Incidentally, he writes to Rabbi Lazar Alevi Ish Horowitz. He says that, you know, he said, you're the only person I'm talking to. He wrote in the tshuva, he did not want to have any conversation with the people that were fighting against the Metzitza Bepeh because he felt he didn't want to talk to them. He says, Dam Mashatoshav Lapikiris, Avalapikiris Yisrael, you don't have to know what to answer. He said, you shouldn't talk to them. And he didn't want to talk to them. He says, he wrote it in the truth, it was his disclaimer. Ichred Nartz Rabbi Lazar Alevi Ish Horowitz. Because I know he's a Goyen Olam, and I know he means right, and he's the only one I'm talking to. But other than him, Ichred Nish, he said, you want to talk to anybody else? Fascinating. But anyway, this is what the Binyan Tzion wrote. So he came out, he says that, no, absolutely not. He says, this is not. He said, besides, it's an old minig. He said, you see, the Mishnah mentions Umaitzitzin, and the Mishnah without much of a haktan, it sounds like everyone knew what Metzitza was. He says, who knows if it doesn't go back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu? So we're going to go now, and we're going to be Mevatel the Mitzvah. Meicha Teisa, we have a right to do this. Now, the truth is, the Binyan Tzion is the starting point as it relates to the other kat, in terms of the ones that felt no way be mevatel metzitza and no way be mevatel metzitza bepeh. But there were other tshuvas that were written as well. There were tshuvas that were written in Poland, and there were tshuvas that were written in Hungary. One of the Polish tshuvas that were written was written by Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes, the Beis Yitzchak. And Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes, he was asked about the Shveiferis, the tube, the infamous tube that was patented, that could be used to do metzitza bepeh without making direct contact with, you know, enough centimeters removed, where the thought at the time was from the doctors that this would alleviate all the concerns. So one of the things that the Beis Yitzchak wrote, he says, I don't think it's all pasha for you to be able to do this. And he quoted a Geshmaki Gemara. This is Kedarka with his Polish Harifos. He said that the Gemara says in Masechtes Pesachim, Daf Nun Zayin, it's a Gemara in other places as well. Tanu Rabbanan, Arba Tzvacha is Tzvacha Azara. The Azara cried out 4 times. The first time was after the story of the Bnei Eli. It said, Tzu'umi kan Bnei Eli, Shetimu Heichel Hashem. The second time he cried out was, there was a Koyin, his name was Yisoschar Ish Kfar Barkai. And the Baskol said, this cried, Tsei Mikan, Yisoschar Ish Kfar Barkai, Shem Mechabed Es Atzmoy, u'mechalel kotshei shamayim. Because he's been mechabed himself, he's been mechalel, how's he mechalel kotshei shamayim? Davu koruch yodeh b'shiroi. He used to wrap his hand in silk. He used to wear nice gloves. Va'ovid avoidah. Silk gloves. And that's the way he did the avoidah. And Dazara called that and said, Arois fandanet. We don't want him in the Heichal Hashem. Tzu mikan yisochcho ish kvar barkai. So the Beis Yitzchak said that we know that the Milo is kemakter keteiris. That's why you don't give sandik to the same person twice. Because chadoshon lebekarim, it was kemakter keteiris. That means when you do the bris Milo, there's a bechina of avoida. So there's a bechina of avoida, there's a bechina of akrov, and you can't use a tube. This is like the white gloves that were used by Yisoscha Ish Kfar Barkai, and Azori yelled out. He says you have to be very sensitive how you do bris Milo. It's going to look a little bit like it's nemas and it's archaic. You have to be very careful with the optics when it comes to bris Milo. It's kemakter keteiris, no different than that gemara. In the English world, perhaps the most important tshuva that was written was from Yehuda Asad. In Shiloh's tshuva, Yehuda Yala, it's in Simon Reishon and Ches, and he fought very strongly as well. His main taina was that he thought the whole diak that everybody made was a mistake. Meaning, we learned the Gemara, and the Gemara seems to walk right into this controversy. Because the Gemara seems to say that Mitzitz is not part of the mitzvah. All it is Mishum Sakana. Okay, so if Sakana's changed, then who said Mitzitz can't change? What was the Hecher? Where did we see really from the Gemara that Mitzitz is not part of the mitzvah? Because the Gemara said, the Rapapa said, that if there's a Moyel that doesn't do the Mitzitz, you remove him because he's putting the kid's life at risk. Why do you have to come on to the fact that he's putting the kid's life at risk? Tepeglei is being mevatel the mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda said, this is very geschmack for another day. See, he says, I'll tell you why. Avada, he's mevatel the mitzvah. And Vados Aleh is a good enough reason to not allow him to do a bris milo again. But the fact that he's putting the kid's life at risk makes it more chomer. Because we know the rule, chamira sakanta meisura. And that's what the point was. He said, Lamayna afkamina, if it's al chamira sakanta meisura, he says, I'll give you an example. What if a moyel only does it one time? One time he chose not to do mitzitza. But as far as we know, every other time he did it. So he says, if it's because he was mevatel the mitzvah, he needs to be becheskas that he's mevatel the mitzvah. Chamira sakanta meisura, one time you're out. Which is an interesting chiddush lahalacha, but the bottom line is that this was a tremendous controversy. It was based on the Gemara, where from the Gemara it would seem that the idea of mitzitza is more about sakana. It's less about the actual mitzvah. There were gedolei Yisrael that were really on both sides of it. But what's even more interesting is that if you go through the tshuvas and you read up a little bit about the controversy, so much of it hinged upon this tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Lazar Alevi Ish Horowitz, the Rav in Vienna for 40 years, he was walking around, he had in his hand a letter that the Halakha Chassam Sofer sent him. And there was this feeling, if the Chassam Sofer wrote a letter, then Akfar Hoy Rezakin, there's nothing for us to talk about anymore. This is obviously after the Ptira of the Chassam Sofer, where it became very lively. So he said, at this point, what else is there to discuss? So if there's nothing else to discuss, what else is there to do? And like you see, the Maritz Chiyas, he said, the Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva. So if he wrote a tshuva, that's the end of the conversation. So what did the other camp say? What about the tshuva's Chassam Sofer? What are you going to do with the Chassam Sofer Paskin? What happened to Kfar HaRezakin? So they felt, and really the theories ranged anywhere from conspiracy theories to, it was a Hirasha, that there was an epidemic of some sort that was going on in Vienna at the time. And as a Hirasha, this was something that had to be done. And the raya that they brought, or at the very least, the support they felt they had to their taina, is that the Chassam Sofer didn't print this tshuva in his tshuva's Chassam Sofer. It wasn't part of his collection. The Chassam Sofer didn't put out any of his farm, but it wasn't part of his collection. And they felt this was also a little bit of a raya. It was printed in a journal somewhere. So to them, it was proof. Not that it was a plagiarized letter or a forged letter, I should say, but rather that at the very least, Chassam Sofer must have written this by Rasha. It was not something he wanted out there. It wasn't a Hirah L'Dairis, and as a result, it's not something that other people could rely on.